The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Manon a heron, agus fearn a heron.
I speak with a title.
Utron a heron, is Misha a neo Utron.
Is privilege for e, a very tough a mar Utron the heron.
Well, as Mary Lou McDonald rules herself out as the Sinn Féin candidate for the presidency, other hopefuls are asking for parties not to block their route to entering the election via the local authorities, as around 12, possibly even 14 wannabe candidates will seek the support of Kerry County Council in the Kingdom this afternoon. Meanwhile, the threats against the Thornishta and his family escalate. I'm joined on the line by Pat Leahy, political editor with the Irish Times. Pat, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So I suppose the news this morning, Mary Lou McDonald is not going to be the Sinn Féin candidate. Will they bother to run one, or will they support Catherine Connolly? What do you think?
We don't know yet. Mary Lou McDonald was repeatedly asked that this morning, both on Your Own Breakfast show and on Morning Ireland. She said that the party hadn't made a decision yet and wouldn't make one. Finally, for another almost 2 weeks, for 12 days, when the party's Lord Corla will meet. I mean, at one level, I think it would be very difficult for Sinn Féin at this stage to sit this out. They've talked about how important it is, you know, to have somebody to talk about a united Ireland, the party's overwhelming political priority during the course of this, to use the presidential election campaign, you know, to set out their vision for a united Ireland. So it's kind of hard to see how they would not get in. But that, of course, presents them with the problem of who the candidate is going to be. And there are really no signs that the party is, with, apart from Mary Lou McDonald ruling herself out, that the party is any closer to picking somebody on that. Names that have been circulating include Pearse Doherty. I think that's very unlikely. Rose Conway Walsh, maybe that's a lot more likely. And Michelle O'Neill, the Northern First Minister. That would be, I suppose, a bold move to bring somebody down from Northern Ireland politics and run them in the Republic. They did it, of course, with Martin McGuinness, but the results of that were mixed at best for the party,
sure.
I think.
Well, he had a particular background and he also had a very high profile. Michelle O'Neill would have the profile, but not necessarily the background. But then, you know, the optics of it, Austin Currie didn't do very well. And as you say, the result for Martin McGuinness was not the best. So it's a very, I suppose, unlikely move.
Yeah, I find it hard to see. And I think underpinning, of course, is we're speculating now because it's, you know, Sinn Féin have been very much a closed shop, unlike Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. They've been very much a closed shop when it comes to their intentions about the presidential election. But it seems to me that underpinning many of their calculations is likely to be, you know, the consideration of what happens if the party really underperforms. And if, you know, if you take the possibility that Michelle O'Neill underperformed, get less than the party's share at the vote at the general election, then I think that would be a significant blow, not just to her, but also to the party as a whole. And it would be another blow, another bad election. Were that to happen, it would be another bad election for Mary Lou McDonald, who, as we know, has had, you know, that very successful 2020 general election campaign. This past election campaign was less successful, though she just about held up the party's share of the seats in the Dáil. But after that, Mary Lou's electoral record is not exactly stellar. And a poor election for Sinn Féin, I think a poor result for Sinn Féin, I think would have political consequences. And I think that is something that the party is likely to have been thinking about.
Okay, meantime, the crowds gather for a sort of a mini convention at Killarney County Council or Kerry County Council, where they'll make their pitches. I don't know how many of them will actually turn up. Could be 10 of them, could be 12 of them. Anyway, they make the pitch looking for support of the council against a background of Fine Gael, who have few enough councillors in Kerry County, also saying, do not support any of these independents. And Fianna Fáil, I think urging is the strongest word, their candidates to get behind their candidate, whoever it should be.
Yeah, I mean, part political convention in Kerry Pass, part Puck Fair, I suspect, down there today. There's 20 candidates have sought the right of audience at Kerry County Council at its special meeting today, but they really don't know how many are going to turn up. As you say, maybe 12, maybe 14. The council won't make a decision today. People will make their presentations, and the councillors will question them on those. But the council won't make a decision until its monthly meeting next week as to A, whether it's going to nominate any candidate, and if it decides to so do, then it has to decide who it is, because of course they can only nominate one candidate. My sense is that it's going to be very difficult for independent candidates to get that local authority nomination. It's not 2018, it's not 2011. The mood has sort of changed, I think, about at least some of the independent candidates. The fact that there's so many of them, and therefore so many of them are not serious, I think hurts the ones that have put more work in and are more serious about it. And then, as you point out, there's the question of the attitude of the parties. Now, you know, the way elections work is you vote for your guy and you don't vote for the other guys. And I suppose there is a question of what certainly Gareth Sheridan, some of the other independent candidates will be seeking, is for the big parties to stand aside, to abstain, to let them get a majority of those votes count.
You know, as political editor of the Irish Times and me in this particular chair, you're kind of hoping there'll be a few oddballs in the, if you'll pardon that phrase, in the election, just to make it a bit more interesting. I mean, Heather Humphreys we know well. Jim Gavin was notoriously taciturn, even as manager of Dublin, in terms of, you know, being an expansive kind of interview. That he was not. And we would hope for maybe a little more colour in the campaign.
Well, we might, Pat, but I suppose our level of entertainment may not exactly be what the councillors are thinking about when they come to make this decision. And it certainly won't be, I suspect, what their headquarters will be thinking about when they're trying. We've seen Fine Gael already make that, make its position clear. I'd be surprised if Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin don't follow suit in that. And it may be a much more straightforward, duller, less sparsely populated, or rather more sparsely populated field of candidates than it was in either 2011 or 2018. But I think that's because, you know, the times have moved on a little bit, really, when it comes to those independent candidates. Some of the, you know, people, and we see Catherine Connolly being interrogated about why she sought to give a nomination to Gemma O'Doherty in the last presidential election. And I think councillors are likely to be a little bit more wary about that type of thing this time.
Now, meantime, we have had threats against the Taoiseach yet again. And, I mean, this is, I don't know, number three, is it, in terms of serious threats that we know about? I mean, there may have been others. What needs to happen here? Because the Taoiseach said he's not going to be quiet about this. He's not going to be stiff upper-lipped about it anymore. He's going to talk about it and expose it. I mean, does it need someone to be found, apprehended, charged, convicted, to lose their liberty for this kind of keyboard warrior stuff to stop?
Well, I would have thought precisely that, Pat. That, you know, if there is an ongoing investigation, but if somebody, and we've seen this sort of thing happen before, if somebody is convicted and publicly, you know, identified and put away, I think that would go a long way to discouraging this sort of behaviour. People hide behind, I mean, we've all seen it, people hide behind the anonymity of the internet and various messaging apps to make these sort of threats against politicians and sometimes other public figures. And it is kind of one of the scourges of our times, I think. And the way to discourage it is to convict, investigate, identify, convict, and then jail the people responsible.
I don't know whether you've been following the excerpts from Leo Varadkar's memoir or autobiography, whatever you like to call it, is called Speaking My Mind. And if so, what you make of some of the stuff contained therein, which is, you know, quite colourful.
Yeah, it's by all accounts a pretty good read, Pat. We've had various bits and pieces of it being leaked out over the weekend. There was excerpts in some of the weekend papers. The book, I think, is being launched on Wednesday, so people will be able to get it in the shops pretty soon. It does seem packed full of colour. I'm not sure that there's any drop dead revelations in it, but I suppose we know so much about our politicians nowadays through, you know, the constant media reporting on them that maybe it's too much to ask for that there should be any drop the marmalade revelations in it. I mean, I suppose what we would expect from it is, you know, a justification, a apologia pro sua vita sort of thing, but also it is. Quite soon after the event, there is a value in that, I suppose, for historians to write immediately after these events, and that has a value. I suppose what it probably mitigates against, if not exclude completely, is the sort of perspective that the passage of time will give to the events that he described. But look, I'm looking forward to reading it.
I'm reading one of the excerpts. This is about the botched appointment of Catherine Zappone as the UN envoy for freedom of expression. Botched is right. But he writes, within minutes, if not actually during the cabinet meeting, news of the appointment was leaked to the media. He says that Simon Harris was suspected of the cabinet leak, and Patrick O'Donovan played Hercule Poirot and appeared to rumble Simon Harris as the source of the leak. He said this would have been a sacking offence that coincidentally, of course, would have created a vacancy. All he could prove was that Simon had talked to Danny McConnell, the journalist who broke the story, quite often, hardly a smoking gun. He says politicians brief journalists all the time, on and off the record. As I was under investigation for a leak myself, I wasn't in a position to make a meal of it. If this is the way the book is written, it's going to be quite entertaining.
Yeah, well, there you are. We're giving it a right plug this morning, Pat. But as I say, I'm looking forward to it. Personally, my position on this, Pat, has always been I'm wholly in favour of leaks from the cabinet or elsewhere. So I certainly won't be looking down my nose at these passages.
Very good, Patrick. Pat Leahy, political editor with the Irish Times. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.